This is Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mitch Tine.
And I'm Bonnie North. We are less than a week away from Election Day, where hundreds of thousands of Wisconsin voters will go to the polls to vote on national, state, and local offices. Many Wisconsinites have already voted early as well. Throughout the season, WUWM and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel have been collaborating on a project in which we answer your questions about the midterm elections.
It is called the Informed Voter Project, and for our last pre-election conversation, we're joined by the Journal Sentinel's Washington Bureau Chief Craig Gilbert to take on a pretty basic and all-encompassing question. Great to see you in person.
It's nice to be with you.
So we are into the home stretch. We've been asking our listeners and readers for about 6 weeks to bring us their questions about the upcoming midterm elections. And so we kind of come full circle with the last episode of The Informed Voter with a question from an anonymous listener or reader who just wrote to ask this very simple question. Why is this election so important anyway?
Well, you know, politicians joke about how they reflexively tell voters this is the most important election of their lifetimes, and then they always say, but I really mean it this time. It's a big deal for a lot of different reasons. You don't always know which elections turn out to be the most consequential until after the fact. I mean, for example, the 2010 election in retrospect was just massively consequential because it determined control of so many key states. It determined redistricting. It elevated a generation of Republicans who became national figures, on and on and on. In this case, you've got, obviously, it's the first midterm in the first term of President Trump. And so there's the question of what role will Congress play with respect to the president? The thinking right now is the Democrats have a better chance of gaining a majority in the House than they do of the Senate because of the mix of Senate seats that are up. If that happens, that obviously ends monopoly rule in Washington. It ends unified government in Washington. That is a very big deal, and it has huge consequences, which we can talk about some more. But then you've also got all these state races. This is the cycle, by the way, when most governorships are up on the ballot in a lot of key states like Wisconsin. So again, huge consequences for the policies and laws that are adopted in all these states, huge consequences for future political control of these states, and huge consequences for a lot of individual political careers, which again sometimes matters because it's out of elections like this that that we see future presidential candidates graduating in many cases.
There is this tendency, you spoke to this a bit, this kind of tendency to feel as though we're always kind of living on the crest of an historical wave.
I mean, you can find elections in retrospect that don't seem quite as consequential. I mean, I think if you went back and looked at the, you know, the Clinton midterm in 94, but in 98, and even the 96 election, where it wasn't that suspenseful. The differences between the parties weren't as dramatic, so the stakes didn't seem as high.
Such innocent times.
Yeah, such innocent times. I mean, it felt pretty polarized at the time, obviously. So you can find those kinds of elections. I think what makes this one different, again, I mean, polarization, partisan division is not new, but you know, everything about the Trump era is different in some sense. It's still politics, and we haven't repealed the laws of politics. But, you know, it's changed the political culture. It could be changing the parties. And so it's got that layer of impact, I think, that feels a little bit new.
We also often think of the midterms as a referendum on the current presidency. But is this one more so than others?
You could certainly say if you go back to 2010 that that was a referendum on President Obama and particularly on some of his policies like Obamacare. But yeah, I mean, certainly one thing that is different is that President Trump is very comfortable putting himself front and center in these elections. And he's out there campaigning. He's always kind of seeking seemingly to dominate the news cycles. He is not shy about that. And so there is a sense that, you know, it's kind of about Trump even more than a normal midterm would be, because midterms are always about the president to some degree. And we see from historical patterns, you know, just the fact that the president's party almost always loses ground in midterm elections because people are generally at one side is more motivated than the other, and it's usually the anti side that's more motivated than the pro side.
Do you see Wisconsin? I mean, there are several really hotly contested races that we're tracking in this state, and you know, obviously, we sort of when you cover Wisconsin, you have tunnel vision a little. But do you see Wisconsin as a proxy for the country?
In some ways, I think it depends on which race we're talking about. I mean, we certainly have fewer competitive U.S. House races than other states because of the nature of our districts. I mean, we don't have any 50-50 districts or any districts that are really that close to 50-50. So it's not a great proxy when you're talking about the North Dakota Senate race is not a great proxy because it's such a red state. So even if Republicans pick up that seat, it only tells you so much because it's not a purple battleground state. So the best, I think the closest thing we have to a proxy is the governor's race. We also have a U.S. Senate race, obviously, in a state that where the Democratic incumbent, one of those 10 states where there's a Democratic incumbent senator in a state that Donald Trump carried. So that is also, I think, significant. It tells you that race doesn't seem to be as close as the governor's race, but whatever happens in that race by whatever margin is going to tell you something about the political climate and particularly the governor's race. Now, the asterisk with the governor's race is that we have a governor that's so well-known and has such a strong political identity that you feel foolish saying it's all about Trump when Scott Walker has been such a central figure and people have such strong feelings about him. Trump is definitely an element, an important element in his race, but it's not all about Trump.
Right. It does seem like in this case, given that they had been political rivals during the presidential race, I wonder if people in this state associate Scott Walker with Donald Trump the way they do some other Republicans with the president.
Yeah, I think that's one of the X factors because clearly, I mean, I go around the state and talk to voters. I've talked to some conservative voters who are more pro-Trump than pro-Walker, and I talked to some that are the opposite. And so there are some people out there that are very troubled by Trump who may still vote for Scott Walker. His approval rating is a little higher than Donald Trump's. So there are more of those people who like Walker more than Trump than the opposite. But it matters because, you know, are the pro-Trump people going to turn out the same levels as traditional Republicans? If they don't, that hurts Scott Walker. You know, he's got this awkward relationship, just like Paul Ryan, where I think even the pro-Trump people know in their heart of hearts that he's not a Trump clone. On the other hand, some voters will vote against him because they don't like Trump. So all those things are going on. That's why it's going to be really interesting not only to see what happens statewide, but what happens in different parts of the state, because we know from the 2016 election that Donald Trump was more popular, you know, the further you got from Milwaukee, whether you're talking about the city of Milwaukee or the Republican suburbs around Milwaukee. He underperformed in that part of the state and overperformed in the northern and western parts of the state. So what does that mean for Scott Walker?
Is there any one single question that you are most intrigued to find out the answer to on election day?
Well, I'm very intrigued. I mean, we're going to reinterpret the 2016 election in Wisconsin partly through the prism of the 2018 election. And so I'm very intrigued by this question of the swings were so dramatic in small towns in the West, in the North, in parts of central Wisconsin, were so dramatic from Obama to Trump. You had all these Obama-Trump communities, hundreds and hundreds of them. To me, one of the most consequential and suspenseful questions about this election is to what degree, if at all, do those communities swing back? And that is their history. We may find that in some cases they're moving long-term toward the Republican Party, but we may find in other cases that they're just volatile and they tend to vote for change and vote against the party in power. And so this question has big implications for both of our statewide races. If the places that swung so hard for Trump swing back a little bit, then that means that, you know, Republicans have to make up those votes elsewhere.
And, of course, there is a large margin of error in this conversation.
Yes. Everything we think we know may be wrong.
Craig Gilbert, we will be watching closely and looking forward to talking with you after the election is history.
Well, I look forward to that.
Craig Gilbert is the Washington Bureau Chief for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Go to WUWM.com where you can listen to our previous Informed Voter segments and also RSVP for our Informed Voter Live event next Wednesday.